such a blessed, blessed time for us. I can't tell you of any greater thrill and joy in my heart than to find people that are beginning to understand the love of God. And if you will remember and meditate and listen to these messages, I can promise you that your life will change. Because life changing is not a matter of you just deciding you're going to change your life. I'm sure you've all tried that. And I'm sure you've been somewhat of a success. Because all of us have a certain amount of self-effort and willpower and a certain amount of strength to do what we want to do. But you can only go so far. But when you understand that God is not against you, God is never against you. God's anger and God's wrath is not against you, for you. Always remember that when God judges you, He judges you out of a heart of compassion to make right in you that which is wrong. And if you will remember the parable of the two seeds that were sown in the field, the seed, the tare, and the seed of Christ. And remember that the tare is not the bad person out there in the world. The tare is the human consciousness that was sown in your field at your birth. The consciousness that causes you to perceive yourself as a human being that is alienated and separated from God. Causes you to perceive yourself perhaps as a good person, one who loves God, perhaps one who is born again, but you are still living out of that human awareness and still trying to take an image of yourself and make it into something more or something better than it is to be more acceptable to God. That, my friend, is the tear. Or you might be a person who is what we call evil. You might be a person who is totally lost in, maybe not lost as far as salvation goes, perhaps you know the Lord, but perhaps like me, when I first experienced the Lord, I was 29 years old, and the tear of the human consciousness was almost fully developed within me. I loved all the wrong things. I did all the wrong things. When I was a Christian for many years, I just want to be honest with you, because you have to realize that you cannot be bad enough. You cannot be disobedient enough that the love of God will not reach down in the depths of your being and lift you up and set your feet upon a rock. There was a time in my Christian experience when I loved God. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues for a minimum of 1 hour every day. Yet sometimes when I would walk past an adult bookstore, I couldn't resist the pull and the temptation of the flesh to walk inside. Have any of you ever had things in your life that you hated? You see, that's the man in Romans chapter 7. That's the man who delights in the law of God in his inner being, yet he has that pull of the flesh. He has that principle, that law of sin and death that is still operating in him. I had a local pastor here in Trinidad tell me that that man in Romans chapter 7 is not a saved man. But I said to him, "Sir, I was born of the Spirit of God. I can tell you the day, I can tell you the experience that I had. I can tell you the experience I had of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, but I still lived for 13 years as a man in Romans chapter 7. Oh my God, how I delighted. How I so desperately wanted God and to be conformed to His image. But that tear that had grown in my human consciousness for almost 30 years, and the habits had been so ingrained and the lifestyle had been so ingrained. But I didn't realize, see, at that time, I didn't realize that God was not interested in taking that human image of myself and making it better. You see, every preacher that I went to, every Christian leader that I went to would try to convince me that until I changed my lifestyle, until I made the right choices, and so I would make the right choices. When the temptation would come, I'd say, no, I'm not going to do it. And that may last for a while. But then the temptation gets stronger, and the pull on the flesh gets stronger. And so you cry out, as Paul did in Romans chapter 7, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But one day I discovered that life was what Jesus was referring to in the parable of the wheat and the tare. It wasn't that wicked person outside of me somewhere. But the tear was that image of myself that was ungodly. And so when you realize that, when you realize that the seed of Christ, the very essence of His being, the greatness of His power and authority is the seed of Christ that was planted in you also at your birth. So when you really begin to realize that, then you can understand that it is not necessary to feel guilt and condemnation when the flesh gets the better of you. See? You can realize it's just the tear. One thing that really helped me come out of this experience, I'm sure you here probably have all had the teaching on the tabernacle. How that we journey from the outer court at Passover to the inner court at Pentecost and then into the most holy place. Well, when I heard the teaching of tabernacle, I was so excited. And so I made it a goal to one day walk into that place and never come out. And so in my seeking and in my prayer, I would say, oh God, help me. Help me enter into that realm where You are. And then I used to sing these songs, Lord, take me in beyond the veil. Oh God, how I long to be in Your presence. I would cry and I would sing. But one day God said to me, He said, you know, your understanding of tabernacles is pretty good. But what you are doing, you are standing in Pentecost, you are standing in the holy place where there is double-mindedness, and you're trying to enter the most holy place. And He said, you will never take flesh and blood into the most holy place. He said, what you must realize is that temple, there was three locations. There was the outer court representing the body. There was the holy place representing the soul. But the most holy place represents your spirit. So I was standing in Pentecost. I was standing in the holy place with the bread, you know, and trying to enter by flesh and blood, by works, by prayer, by fasting, by doing all the things. I was trying to enter into the holy place. And what God said to me is, Gary, you don't have to try to enter into that place because that's who you are. He said, you've had the wrong concept. He said, the outer court in the most holy place would never have received the glory of God until the curtain was rent. And when the curtain was rent, the most holy place, the presence of God, can then fill the temple.
So he said, instead of you standing in the most holy place and trying to rend the veil of your flesh, you stand in the most holy place. You enter into that realm in the deepest part of your being, and you realize that the veil of the rent, the veil has been rent. And from the most holy place, from that spiritual being that you are, you begin to speak forth the words of spirit and life. And as you speak the words of spirit and life, you speak to that soul. You speak to that rebellion. You speak to everything in your life that's not according to godliness. You stand as a son of God. Know that you don't have to enter into that place. You are in that place. That is where the new creation man dwells, behind the veil. So he said, you don't have to try to enter in behind the veil. You need to step out from behind the veil. What a different concept. To know that in spirit, I know we've shared many times this week, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You don't have to try to be like God. You don't have to try to love like God. You don't have to try to have the compassion of God. That is who you are. That new creation man has nothing but obedience in his heart, has nothing but love for all of creation within his heart. And so you can learn to stand in the most holy place. Don't try to get there, you are there. And realize from the most holy place, from your spirit, you break through the veil of the flesh outward. You don't take the flesh into the most holy place, but in the most holy place, you release the spirit of the living God to flow into all the areas of your mind, emotion, and will. And that's where you find the victory. When you can rest in what we call the finished work of Christ. You know, it is said in Hebrews chapter 4 that in the old covenant, they entered in because they did not enter in because of unbelief. And do you know all they had to believe? That those who believe know that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Do you know before you were ever put as a seed of Christ in this earth, the work of God had been finished from before the foundation of the world? As we shared earlier this week, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of your faith. Oh, if you can believe that. You see, they entered not in because of unbelief. But if you can believe that God is big enough, all-knowing enough, the blood of Jesus Christ flows to the deepest recesses, to the lowest hell, to the lowest pit, and he knows the work has been finished even before the foundation of the world. Jesus not only authored your faith, he is the one who finishes your faith. You see, our faith, the work is completed, and now all we do is walk it out. But we can't walk it out with our human consciousness. We have to believe, as the scriptures say, and it's not hard for you to believe. Once you have been regenerated, you know that the Spirit of the living God has quickened you, has given you life, has given you a new hope. And the only reason that most Christians lose hope and go into depression is they are not taught really the parable of the sow and the tare, and they don't understand that their human consciousness was never meant. The human being was never meant to be transformed into a godly person. The human being, the human consciousness, is what Jesus took to the cross and buried. So we don't live from a human consciousness. We live from a spiritual consciousness. There is no less power. There is no less authority. There is no less compassion. There is no less of God once you discover the reality of you being a spiritual being. It is so easy to go from a carnal human being to a spiritual human being if you will just believe and practice a few things. One of those things you can practice that the Lord shared with me many years ago when I was struggling with the lust and the nicotine and all of the things that I was struggling with trying to overcome. One day I was reading the 23rd Psalm, and I come to that part that says, God has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And God said to me, your enemies are not devils in the airwaves. See? Your enemies are not demonic spirits or principalities and powers in the airwaves outside of you. Your enemies are your lust. Your enemies are your bitterness. Your enemies are your unforgiveness. Those are your enemies. And he said, if you will begin to feast in the very presence of your enemies, you will discover a life come forth that will defeat every enemy in your life. And so I shared the other night how I used to be such an angry, tempered person. And that's one of the first things I began to work on. When I would get angry, I would remember what the Lord shared with me. In the midst of your anger, I have prepared a table for you. And the Lord says in the Old Testament, as far as the east is from the west, so far I've removed your sins, I've blotted out your sins, so come to me. So in the midst of my anger, I would simply turn and I'd say, Father, I'm so thankful to know that I have a spirit within me. And I'm so thankful to know that your spirit and my spirit is one spirit. So, Father, I just ask you to rise up within this temple. God, come forth within my being and release the power and the life that would overcome this temper. And I would do it again, and I would do it again, and I would do it again, until one day the temper did not flare up anymore. And this is a principle that I use to defeat every enemy in my life. And it's a principle I still use today. Every time my flesh would rise up, I will immediately begin to speak words of spirit and life. How could you stay in your anger if you learn in the midst of your anger to begin to speak the words of spirit and life? How could you stay in your lustful condition if you begin to speak when those lusts or when those temptations come? How could you stay in that condition when you turn your heart to the Lord? For as we read the other night, whenever the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. You can literally speak your way out of hell. Because if you're living with all the bondages or even any bondages of the flesh, you're experiencing hell to a degree. Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when these things come upon you, no matter what they are, if you are tempted to be angry with your brother, if you are tempted to slander another, if you will remember that your tongue is a tongue that will bring life or death, you can speak words even to your enemies that will bring them spirit and life. I have done this in a very practical way. I worked with a person one time who didn't like me. And they were my boss. They was my boss. And so they made it very difficult for me. And to me, that was a challenge. I would pray for him, sometimes in tears. And I'd say, God, give me a way to reach this man. Because, you see, I know the heart of every man. I know that deep down inside of every man, there is a spirit. And if you will, through prayer and intercession, and through being loving and being good to those who despitefully use you, you will find that you will win your enemies. And then when you do that, you'll discover that's how God wins His enemies. He doesn't destroy them. He doesn't kill them. He doesn't put a cancer on them. He blesses them. And so I tried everything I could do to win this man over. But one day I was out shopping, and the Lord showed me an item, and he said, and remember, all this time I've been as kind as I could be to this brother, and nothing seemed to help. But when I saw this item, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, buy that for this person. So I bought that item. I was on my lunch, and I took it back to him, and I said, you know, as I was out shopping, I didn't make it sound religious. I said, I just felt in my heart that you would like this, and so I bought it for you. And that man never again was mean to me. Never again. You see, I could have prayed against him. I could have had resentful feelings for him. But the only reason we react that way is we do not understand the heart of God. We've been taught by our religious leaders that God hates his enemies. That God annihilates his enemies. Or that God tortures his enemies. Oh, but once you have the genuine touch of the heart of God, you will understand that there is no way that we have a God who would put any kind of pain or torture on you. Sometimes I think the religious leaders, they think they're better than God. Would you, when you were, as you were raising your children, no matter how bad they are, could you even for 30 seconds hold a cigarette lighter on their finger and burn them? Yet we're told by religious leaders across the country that our God will torture almost all of his creation in an endless agonizing torment. And then we're told that we need to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind. I'll tell you what, folks, the only way you can do that is when you understand that God is only love. That God would never do anything, but sure, he'll bring you correction. God will judge you severely. Love does have that severe effect to it. But whenever God would correct you, he corrects you as a father would correct his child. And he raises up the circumstances in your life that will cause you to realize that you're walking in the wrong direction. So once we have a proper understanding and we experience the unconditional love of God, you know, sometimes when I was at my worst, sometimes when I would have my worst failures, God would come to me and he would remind me of the sacrifice. Do you not know this is why I died? Do you not know that forgiveness is like an unlimited bank account? Never think that you can spend all of the forgiveness that I've provided. You can have as much of it as you need, or as much of it as you want. And know that as you seek my heart, know that as you spend time in my presence, that there will be a fire begin to burn within your soul. And the more you spend time in my presence, the more you meditate upon my word, the more you look in that mirror of a perfect life, you will begin to stand up within yourself. The Spirit of the living Christ within you will begin to ascend within your being. And that Spirit will ascend, and that Spirit will flow from the most holy place into your mind. And your mind will become the mind of Christ. And that spiritual being that you are will begin to flow into your will. And if you've had a hard, stubborn, rebellious will, oh, by spending time in my presence, you will discover that the will of God shall flow into that natural will. And your will become so pliable that you will willingly, out of a heart of love, do whatever that I command you to do. And then from the deepest recesses of your being, my love will flow into your emotions. And your emotions will become my emotions. Never again will you curse those that hate you. Never again will you try to find retribution for your enemies. But my heart of love will so overwhelm you with its love and compassion that when anyone would come against you, you would be able to weep and intercede in tears and say, "Oh God, have mercy upon them. Is this not what I did at Calvary? Did I not stretch forth my hands, and did I not look down at those who persecuted me, look down at those who spat upon me, look down at those who put the wounds on my back and the thorns upon my head, and did I not cry out from the very depths of my being, 'Oh God, have mercy upon them, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.'" You see, this is what I want to bring forth within each of you, my people. I want to bring forth my life and my nature. I want to bring forth that life that is really life. I want you to have that life that knows no bounds and no limitations. A life that knows nothing but to do the will of the Father. See, that's what God is bringing forth in these days. He's bringing forth a people who will stand in the glory of God and minister from the most holy place. Jesus said to His disciples, "The flesh profiteth nothing." You see, there is nothing you can do in the flesh. It may be very good, but the flesh profiteth nothing. Oh, but the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak will enter in past your natural mind. The words that I speak will enter into that deepest recesses of your being. And the words that I speak will quicken your spirit, cause your spirit to be strengthened. And your spirit will begin to stand up in all that I have provided for you. Learn to speak words of spirit. Learn the power that is in your tongue. For again, I say that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when you are discouraged, if you speak discouragement, you will continue to be discouraged. But when you are discouraged, if you speak life, if you turn to me in the deepest recesses of your being, you will find a great, overcoming, powerful victory over depression or any other problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll tell you, folks, the greatest problem that we have is the mind. As I shared the other night, the mind is the most subtle beast of the field. And that's why Jesus said, "Think not, take no thought over what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on." Do you know that your mind is the root of depression? Your mind is the root of poverty. Your mind is the root of bitterness. Your mind is the root of sickness and disease and the curse of the law. And that's why Jesus said, "Take no thought." If you will learn to take no thought, you could never be depressed. It's the thinking that causes you to sink into that depression as it comes in your mind. You can never feel resentment towards another if you take no thought. If someone does something evil to you or slanders you, if you take no thought, you will never have resentment or bitterness towards that person. But when somebody does something to you and you take thought about it and you think about it and you, over in your mind, you think they have no right to do this to me, the more you think about it, you will build resentment and bitterness. If you take no thought, but you simply enter into that most holy place, and it becomes so automatic that when someone would despitefully use you or come against you, it is an automatic response that you enter into that most holy place. And there you find a heart of love and compassion towards that person. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning at verse 3. I know these verses are very familiar. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our for a few years, and in spiritual warfare, the unbalanced spiritual warfare, the religious spiritual warfare, will always teach you that your enemy is outside of you. You will learn that the devil is more powerful than God. In many Pentecostal churches, I used to go into them, and after the service, sometimes I'd stand up and I'd say, "Now I know the devil is a Pentecostal." Because I heard more about the devil than I heard about the power of God to deliver. I would hear testimony after testimony about how the devil was after me this week, how the devil did this to me this week, how the devil got after my children this week. And so I said, "My goodness, you guys, you're just inviting, you're giving glory to that man." And so your spiritual warfare classes will teach you that all of the warfare is done outside of you. That there is prince and princesses over our city that keep us in darkness, that keep the gospel from being spread. You see, they make the principalities and powers up there in the airwaves more powerful than the gospel of Jesus Christ on this earth to break through the darkness. And so here we are, carnal Christians. We're out there in cities, and we're raising our fists and we're pulling down principalities and powers, not knowing that all the enemies are within us. Not knowing the only way you can have any authority over any kind of demonic activity is to first take that authority and use it on yourself. So that's why Paul says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The stronghold of the enemy is in your carnal mind. The stronghold of the enemy in your mind will defeat you where the principalities and powers in the airwaves cannot defeat you if you realize that the real problem is the natural mind. So he says, casting down imaginations. That word imaginations is better rendered reasonings. That you would cast down reasonings, you see, and that's what the mind does. Jesus says, the scriptures say that Jesus is our healer. All through the Old Testament, the Psalms, and in the New Testament, in Peter, and so many say that Jesus Christ is our healer. Well, what will your reasoning tell you? You see, that's why I said we have to be like Abraham. We don't look at our bodies as good as dead. We don't identify. If we're experiencing sickness, take no thought. I was diagnosed with cancer about 2 years ago. I was sitting in the home with a couple other ministers, Stacy Wood and his wife, and I got a phone call. And I was diagnosed with cancer. As God is my witness, I had no fear. I had no thought about what was going to happen to me. The only thing within me is I said, "God, what will you have me to do about it?" Because that's all I need to know. I don't need to think about the results. I don't need to think about what I have to go through. Because the more you think about it, the more power you give it in your life. So you cast down the reasonings. And I know how difficult this is. That's why you must begin now. You must begin to practice casting down every imagination, every reasoning that comes against the knowledge of God. You see, you are a son of God. Not someday, but today. You may not be too much matured in the life of Christ. But nonetheless, now we are sons of God. And as a son of God, we must learn how to speak the words of God. Speak the words of life and health and healing. Not only to ourselves, but into all the world. And so the only thing I did was I said, Father, what would you have me to do? He told me what to do. I did what he said, and the problem is gone. And see, we cannot form any kind of a doctrine as to what we should do in a situation like that. Because if he had have told me to go to the doctor and go through surgery, that's what I would have done. See, a lot of people say, well, if you really had faith, you wouldn't even go to a doctor. Well, that's probably true, but what about those that don't have the faith? See? What if I don't have the faith? And I've never been one to claim I have a lot of faith, because I have absolutely none. But there is one in me. There is a life in me. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2, and I think it's verse 1, it says, you have an anointing and you know all things. Well, my goodness, we know he's not talking to our natural mind. He's talking to our spiritual mind. We have, as Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. And that mind of Christ that dwells within you knows all things. And as you begin to abide in his presence and begin to speak the words of spirit and life, as you need to know whatever you need to know, it will come to you because he will remind you. That's one of the things that Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will bring to your remembrance all things. So we cast down reasonings and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, here come the reasonings. That's impossible. See? The reasoning mind will say, it's impossible. I couldn't possibly bring every thought into captivity of Christ. And the moment you accept that reasoning and you begin to think about it and how would I do it, you're already in the enemy's pit. But we must know again the difference between those two seeds. The seed of the human consciousness that lives under the law of sin and death, or the spiritual man, the new creation man, who lives according to the law of life. Man was never meant to live by a law outside of himself. And we can see that even in typology, in the ark in the Old Testament, the commandments was placed inside the ark. And we know that the ark was a type of Christ, showing that the law was just the expression of God that came out of the Lamb. It wasn't a law lived out of some kind of a human consciousness through an outward obedience, but it was a consciousness, it was a life. And that same life, the Scriptures so clearly reveal, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from among the dead now dwells in you. And as you begin to train your mind to cast down every reasoning, every thought that would come to you and tell you that you are less than what God created you to be. And you will come to the place where every time those thoughts begin to hit your mind, you'll be able to cast them down. And to cast them down simply means don't think about it. You see, we may not be able to stop thoughts from coming into our mind, but we can certainly stop giving credence to them and thinking about them. You know, this is part of the armor of our warfare, to put on the helmet of salvation. And when you put on the helmet of salvation in reality and by experience, there is nothing, there is no fiery dart of the enemy that can penetrate your mind. That's what the helmet of salvation is. The helmet of salvation is the mind of Christ that will rise up within you. And all the fiery darts of the enemy, though they may hit you, though they may come at you, you're able to not even consider them. Take no thought, as Jesus said. Think about how much anxiety that we go through, how much depression we go through because we think about the future. We wonder what's going to happen to us when we get laid off, or when we lose our job, or when some news comes that we're going to lose our job. Think how much grief we put ourselves through by taking thought about what are we going to do next. Where if you are living in the power of His Spirit, if you are functioning out of the mind of Christ, you will know that the Lord certainly would take care of you. Jesus said, look at the lilies. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Look at the birds of the air. If Father so feeds the birds of the air and clothes the fields, will He not take care of you? You see why Jesus said, O ye of little faith. He wasn't asking them to do anything except believe that God is your Father. And once you understand that God is your Father, and you understand the heart of a father is towards his children, then again, you will never have to suffer under guilt and condemnation when things happen in your life, or the flesh gets the best of you. You will simply be able to stand, as Hebrews 4:12 says, that the living and abiding Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is living and operative to the dividing asunder of your natural mind and your spirit. So when your flesh rises up, you don't condemn yourself. You see it for what it is. You simply turn to your spirit and you begin to speak words of spirit and life. And sometimes all you can do is cry, oh God, help. I've done that for so long. I used to say, oh God, God, I need your help. There is no way that I could ever be a good Christian from my human side of life. But when I discovered the life that's really life, the indestructible, incorruptible life of God Himself was deposited on the inside of me, and I can connect with that life. I can learn to live from that life. I can learn to speak from that life. Your carnality will never, ever win when you understand that you have the same life, the same nature, the same character as God Himself. God will never fail. You may say, well, I've been a Christian for 70 years and I've been a failure all my life. Everything in your life, you will one day realize that every failure, every trial, every circumstance in your life has been to make you realize your need for God. Whatever you have went through, a lot of what we go through is because of our lack of obedience or our lack of paying attention to spiritual things. A lot of what we go through is simply we reap what we sow. But that does not nullify the fact that you have that life within you. And whatever you do in the flesh, whatever mistakes you make, no matter how far away from God you fall, that spirit is in you. That resurrected life is in you. You may become that prodigal son, but you can always at any moment and any time not go to a far country, but simply turn within and begin to call on that life. And that life will run to you and deliver you and empower you to pick yourself up and keep walking. Doesn't matter how many times a day you fail, you can get up and walk again. You know, when a little child is beginning to walk and he falls down, he doesn't say, oh, I'll never make it.
That's what we Christians do. Many times when we fall in certain areas, we feel so bad. And I understand that. Feeling bad is one thing, but accepting the guilt and condemnation is something else. We simply know that as a child, when a baby falls down, he'll get up. I watched my children when they begin to walk. They might fall down 100 times a day, but they'd get up again. You see, you have a spirit in you, and that spirit will stand up again every time. The moment you, again, the moment you turn your heart to the Lord, the veils are taken away. And that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken and give life even to our mortal bodies. So, Father, as we close out this time of gathering, Father, I just bless this country. Oh, God, I thank you that you poured out your Spirit as you did, that this is that which was spoken. God, I'm so thankful that the prophets of Balaam shall be defeated. Father, I'm so thankful that your resurrected Spirit, the transcendency of your life is now arising in the country of Trinidad. God, that your glory shall fill the house. Not the house that we're in, but the house that we live in. Father, I pronounce blessings upon this country. And Father, I thank you that there is no demon in hell. There is no wicked spirit. There is no spirit of witchcraft. There is nothing that can stand against the resurrected Son of the living God. For Father, you are coming forth in your life and your power within the people of Trinidad. And so we stand in agreement with you. And we cast down every thought. We cast down every imagination. We cast down every reasoning that would come to us and say it shall not be so. For we say it shall be so. We say that Jesus Christ is the Lord over the country of Trinidad. Jesus Christ is the Lord over the whole earth. And we as one man with one voice and one mind shall stand up and declare the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Amen.
Well, let's put our hands together. Amen.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music. Of man.
rising.